Listen to this Ross Report podcast for all the updates. I'm Mori Baranski, and welcome back to the Patriots Roster Report podcast. Of course, an official podcast of the New England Patriots. It's another Friday right here at Gillette Stadium on June 29th, and we have Andy Hart and Paul Perillo giving you all the latest on the Patriots roster, including some of their opinions on Asante Samuel.
Thanks, Lori. Another quiet week here at Gillette Stadium, wrapping up just before the start of the training camp season. Coming up quickly, not a whole lot to talk about, Andy, but there was one bit of interesting news this past week. I'm interested to get your thoughts on it. Nathan Vasher, cornerback for the Chicago Bears, re-signed an extension to stay there for the next, I believe, 5 years. He had 1 year to go before he was going to hit free agency. Immediately, thoughts of Asante Samuel have to come to mind. How much does this affect, if at all, the Samuel situation?
I don't think really at all, first of all, because it's the extreme difference between having a year remaining under contract and being a free agent like Asante Samuel is. If anything, I'd say if it affects it in any way, it shows that he's worth that much more, because generally when you re-sign early, you give up some money. You leave some money out there. So it shows that anything that could get done with Samuel is clearly north of the deal that Vasher signed, which was, what, $28 million, including $14 in guarantees or something? So you're clearly talking, as we've said all along, you're north of $15 million in guarantees, and you're probably north of $30 million right in the total package. Now, whether you approach the Nate Clements deal, which everybody else also points to, I don't know. But I think it's mildly irrelevant, you know, the Vasher deal. But it gives you, I guess, something to talk about at this point, a comparison, because, you know, we've been so long now without really anything on the Samuel situation, since he basically said, you know, right on the eve of minicamp that, you know, he's ready, willing, and able to sit out the first 10 weeks of the season. Everything else has been pretty quiet. You know, you had the Deion Branch discussing it, and then you have the Vash. They're all things on the outskirts that really don't affect Samuel, the Patriots, and the negotiations.
Well, I think it kind of looks at two different things here, and I totally agree with everything you said, especially the part about with the year remaining on the contract. I think that's the key point that, you know, was somewhat glossed over a little bit. And Samuel's agent, Alonzo Shavers, I thought rightly brought that to the forefront in the story that appeared in the Boston Globe yesterday. But let's take a couple of different things here. Let's compare Vasher and Samuel as players, because I think that's where you have a pretty good, solid comparison. And if you wanted to say, well, Vasher got this, Samuel shouldn't get much more, I think if you're talking strictly their performance on the field, I think it's pretty comparable. How do you feel
about
it? Yeah,
they're similar. The one thing I'd say is coming in a Tampa 2 scheme for Vasher, I think there's less of a responsibility there. I think that's a defense where it's easier to play cornerback because you always have those safeties covering your butts.
That's a great point.
So you can be a little more aggressive, do some things. Samuel doesn't always have that to fall back on. And even going beyond that, even if they were playing that scheme, Samuel, and I know Brown was out for Chicago, but Samuel at varying times had who knows who covering his butt, whether it was James Sanders, Artrell, you know, there were new bodies being worked in. So I think he was a little bit more on that true cornerback island over the last couple of years, especially last year. So I think that's a big difference, because when you look at it, yeah, there's some similarities in numbers. I think they have the same amount of career interceptions. Yeah. Vasher has one Pro Bowl. Samuel doesn't. Well, you know what?
Samuel should have
a Pro Bowl last year. So, yeah, their numbers and a lot of things compare favorably. I just think Samuel does more. And if you're going to say he's a year younger, well, that means you kind of could project, well, what if he comes out and has another great year? Does he surpass Vasher? Does he develop more?
Yeah, and you know, the other thing, and I think that the Tampa 2 point that you bring up, I think that's an excellent point. And I hadn't really even thought of that, and I hadn't seen that really anywhere. So, you know, a lot of people say that the cornerbacks in Tampa 2 are kind of interchangeable. And
right.
They're not really that important
piece
of the puzzle.
I think Vasher's a great athlete. We've seen him make plays.
That doesn't mean I don't think Vasher's a good player, because I think he's a very good player.
And it doesn't mean he wouldn't succeed if he came to a system like the Patriots.
Right.
I'm just saying it's a little different. It's something to note.
And we ran down a list, a very informal, unscientific list that you and I did about 2 weeks ago, where we just kind of went every cornerback in football, and we just off the top of our heads, without looking at, you know, in-depth statistical analysis or anything like that, we just said better, worse, or the same as Samuel. And Vasher was one of the guys that was either that we put down as being at the very, very least the same.
Right.
And believe it or not, there weren't that many cornerbacks that we came up with that we definitively thought were better. We're talking about single digits.
Mm-hmm.
And even when you combine the guys that we included that we thought were the same, we're talking only about between the same and better, only about 15 guys.
Right.
So I think that he clearly is in a level now that's a little bit higher than a lot of other people do. The one other thing I wanted to ask you before we moved on to something else here, Andy, is the whole left-right cornerback thing. Do you think there's much merit to that? You know, I know we all talk about, you know, the quarterback is generally right-handed and where he's throwing.
Right-handed offenses,
right,
and all that, and different things.
Do you put much stock into that?
No, I don't. Just watch a guy play. I think they're interchangeable. Samuel, you know, played both at times last year. I think that more of is made of that than really should be.
Do you think it's maybe circumstantial that most of Samuel's interceptions came when he was playing one side as opposed to the other?
Yes.
Yeah, I agree.
Watch him cover a receiver, watch him play, and tell me, can he play?
I don't look at it at all like left and right tackle.
No,
left and right tackle to me is a significant different position.
Yeah.
And I don't think of cornerback that way.
That's
now, maybe
paid that way.
Maybe football personnel people, maybe Bill Belichick would come in here and smack us both upside the head and say we're wrong. You know, he'd probably do that anyway. But
just for poops and giggles.
Like I said, maybe football guys look at it and say, geez, there's really a lot of intricate differences between left and right cornerback. From my experience watching the games, I don't see it being that much of a difference. And I think that people are trying to make a huge difference out of it. Quite frankly, I just don't think it's there.
Okay,
we're
so
in the minority on that.
You're about to go on vacation. We're about to have the quiet time.
Yeah.
What's Asani Samuel? Next time we do legitimate football things, meet here July 27th. Asani Samuel here?
No.
Asani Samuel here for any part of training camp?
Yes, I think so.
And then he plays the season?
Yeah, I think at some point, you know, we talked about this on PFW in Progress too, you know, this week. At some point, I know you and I agree on this, he's going to look at the money that he's forfeiting if he decides to forfeit a game check, and he's going to say, I can't afford to pass up $500,000 every time a week goes by. And it's just too much money to leave on the table. $7.79 million is a lot of money. It's a very, very good salary. And he will come to his senses.
And promise not to franchise him next
year. Don't you think that would... I don't want to say no, because they've done a couple of other things that I would say have been out of character.
Right.
And one, I would say the Seymour bonus. Two, I would say allowing Deion Branch to make his own deal last year.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't want to say no, but I think it would be a little bit out of character if they did. They don't like to kind of let the player dictate what's going on. They like to leave all their options open. I would be surprised. How do you feel about
that? I would be surprised. Now, some people believe, and I don't know what to believe, that they made that promise to Adam Vinatieri. I don't know whether that's a fact or not.
Yeah, that's another good
point. A lot
of people
believe that they did
today,
it with Adam Vinatieri. Whether that's true or not, if you really want him in here, that is basically what you have to offer at this point. If you're bargaining, that's what you have to offer. I mean,
come in, play,
or a bump
$8 million,
in pay.
$7.79 million. Yeah,
I mean,
very, very, very rational.
It's all you really have to offer, and it gives you the ability to see him, hopefully, happy for a full season, 16 games. It gives you that time frame to make a decision. Because if he sits out 10 weeks, shows up, and doesn't play well, does that mean that layoff affected him, or is he not as good as he performed last year? If you get him in here for camp and then a full season, at least you have that year to assess, do I want to hand him a big $22 million check?
Yeah, I think if the pluses and minuses, if he sits out 10 weeks and he comes back and plays the end of the season, which would be the last seven games, the pluses are that he drastically reduced his chance of getting injured by, you know, just strictly mathematics.
Right.
He didn't play in nine games, and instead of 16, he only played in seven. So your chances of serious injury are reduced.
Although one could argue that missing camp and different things,
right,
maybe you're setting yourself up for some injuries.
But he would have to obviously,
right,
that's his problem. That's
right.
His fault. Because
right,
he'll miss camp, but that doesn't mean he has to miss his conditioning.
Right.
So that's his fault, if that would be the case. But the other part of it is an awful lot of pressure he puts on himself to perform well in those seven games and prove that, you know, it wasn't just a one-year thing. You know, and look, we all know he's not going to get 10 interceptions again. I mean, I don't think that he's – you can't just snap your fingers as a defensive back in this league and put up double-digit
right,
interception totals every year. That won't mean to me that he's not having just as good a season. A lot of pressure, though, to perform. You know, and I think at some point in August, and we talked about this too on PFW in Progress, he sits back and says, let me give myself enough time to get myself ready to avoid what you're talking about, those little nagging injuries. get myself ready, come back and play the season, hope I stay healthy, and then I hit the open market. But I think that your solution is a very good one. If the Patriots went to him and just said, we will not franchise you again, and you come back, play 16 games, $7.79 million is a lot of money. I think it works for both sides. So I think that I think Asante Samuel is on the roster come opening day. Troy Brown, Vinny Testaverde, are either one or both of those guys on the roster come opening day?
Yes, Troy Brown will be on the roster come opening day. Vinny Testaverde, I have no idea. I mean, they convinced him to practice in minicamp when he's not on the roster and not in any way, you know, a part of this team. So using that as guidelines, what would stop him from keeping him sort of in the loop, you know, in some meetings, in some practices, and then keeping him just available on that, you know, speed dial for when they do need him? I don't know, but Troy Brown, I think, and we've talked, again, PFW and Parag talked about this a little bit, I think he had his best year in 3 or 4 years last year, and I know he ended up injured, but if he comes back from that and can run, can perform, is healthy, and I think that's the hurdle right now. I think that's why he's not on the roster. Both sides are waiting to see, because I don't think he wants to embarrass himself. I don't think he wants to come back just to come back. He wants to come back to play and have a role on this team. He wants to make sure that knee is going to allow him to do so, and I think the Patriots want him to be healthy if they bring him back. I think that's the hurdle right now. If he can run, if he can perform, I think he's on this team. I think he'll contribute, and I think he still has the capabilities of catching 30, 40 passes as an underneath receiver with some of the deep threats and being a big role on offense.
Yeah, I agree. I was a little surprised after minicamp that they didn't officially sign Testaverde.
Right.
I thought that maybe once all the OTAs were done with, that they would probably say, okay, he's going to be here. Let's get on with it. Now I don't know what to think. Come training camp. I don't know if he's there. I don't think you can participate in training camp if you don't have a contract, do you? Can you?
I don't know. What if he's in a quasi-assistant coach? I mean, Nick Caserio, guys like that are out there throwing passes to guys doing things. I don't know what they... I mean, I'm sure he can't participate in games or anything.
There's a difference between throwing passes and drills and what Testaverde's doing.
Not much. I mean, you can't pin him down and say he's doing this, this, and this. Why is... I think you could get around it if you wanted to. I certainly think you could for practices. And if he's willing to do that, from a Patriots perspective, if he's willing to be a quasi-member of this team and be available when we need him but not really take up a roster spot and not collect a paycheck right now, I'm certainly all for that.
Yeah, and I think that's what, like, I guess with not having any official announcements, I guess that's what we're going to see. I don't think he's going to be out there for training camp. And I think that maybe 6-7 weeks down the road in the regular season, Bill will do what he did last year. Give him a call and say, all right, you're all up to speed. You know what you're doing.
And
I'm going to bring you back for insurance.
First season or whatever it is of throwing a touchdown pass against somebody late in the season.
I'm going to say Cleveland.
Okay.
That's early in the season, actually. What are the bad teams they play late in the year that they can run up a score on?
The Giants is the last game.
Oh.
That could be a sinking ship by that time. Tom Coughlin could be out. Who knows? They could be a sinking ship at that point.
The ship is sinking. That would be in the Meadowlands, right?
Yes.
Wouldn't that be
apropos?
Wouldn't that be fitting? All right. Well, it's also an apropos way to put an end to this Patriots Roster Report podcast. We will be back next week. For now, back to you, Lori.
Thanks once again, guys. Don't forget to keep joining us every Friday right here on Patriots.com for a brand new Patriots Roster Report podcast. Thanks for listening, and go Pats!